Welcome aboard, Captain.
Back to Star Trek Minute, the semi-daily podcast where we analyze, discuss, and probe Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, one minute at a time. I'm Chris LaSalle.
And I'm David Soger.
You sure are. Hey, Dave.
I almost said I'm Chris LaSalle.
That would be weird.
That would be weird.
Yeah. Okay, so we're back. It's minute 34 of The Voyage Home. Feel like it's... 34.
Yes.
So minute 34 starts with Kirk asking for Mr. Sulu again, and ends a minute later for Bird of Prey, the Bird of Prey cloaking itself.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a pretty good minute. I was, there's, not a ton going on, but I
enjoyed it. Yes.
It's hard to explain, I guess.
We're coming out of the, we're coming out of the drug trip scene, so I think anything after that, you're kind of like, this is Oscar worthy.
Back to normal, normal filmmaking here. But yeah, it's Kirk waking up, which I don't know, waking up because did they fall asleep during the drug trip or did they pass out during the drug trip?
I'm assuming that they all passed out from the
too many G's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They all look very, both Kirk and Mr. Sulu look very relaxed in their passed outness.
Definitely.
They're not slumped over the arms of their chair. They just look like they're leaning back, taking a nap.
Well, Uhura, you can see in the scene where, Sulu is in, he's still asleep. You can sort of see Uhura's bent over and she's sort of slumped over a little bit.
Oh yeah, could I? I didn't see that.
Yeah. I know that whenever I, we all have done it. I mean, we all have slingshot around the sun and we pass out. I know when I pass out after that, the first thing I'm doing is I'm just going to get right back to,
right back to work.
Right back to work. Sulu wakes up and immediately starts working again. To me, I would have been what the hell just happened here? What is going on? I would have had a million questions and just my mind probably would have been going in a million different directions. The last thing I probably would want to do is getting back to my console. Maybe that's why I'm not a Starfleet officer.
You might have failed that test and he's not Starship worthy.
Is that my Kobayashi Maru?
Yeah. Just waking up without freaking out. Every time he wakes up, he freaks out and throws things. We can't put him on a Starship. my note was that I thought George Takei did a great job of coming out of his stupor. It's looking around and he's confused for a bit and then he's, snaps to oh, wait a minute, I've got a job to do. And just still looks like it takes a minute for him to reorient himself with the Klingon controls. But it brings me to so I like that. I thought he did a good job with that. But the line he drops is, sir, the braking thrusters have fired.
Yes.
He sounds surprised. And so... why would he be surprised? Is it because he should have done that? He should have hit the brakes when they came out of their slingshot? Or was it divine intervention that hit the brakes for them or what?
Yeah, is that part of Spock's, computer has control or doing the computations or whatever? Whatever he says in the I think it's minute 31. He says, Kirk says, engage computer, prepare for warp speed. So is that part of the computer program that runs, the script that Spock writes?
I would hope so. Cause you should be planning for this kind of thing that they all pass out.
Because if they didn't, the ship probably would have crashed right into the Earth and at warp 9.9 or whatever, and just absolutely killed
everybody.
It would have been one of those paradox things, like we just killed everybody on Earth, and
yeah, no, that would be the end. Now we got to go try time travel farther back to prevent us from crashing into the Earth.
Yeah, but they can't because they'd be dead. So no, someone else would have to. No, so it'd be the next generation would then. It'd be, you know.
You mean Picard?
Yeah, so it'd be Picard, and they would have to go and.
Remember that time when Kirk blew up the Earth? We need to go fix that.
Rewriting Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, 1 minute at a time.
Okay. So Kirk asks for a picture, please. Beautiful shot of the Earth.
Yes.
We know and love it.
Looks pretty peaceful.
It does. Looks very nice down there. And then we get to one of the, actually Kirk sounds like he's saying Earth.
It's the Earth, Daddy. It's Earth. The Earth.
But when? And so this line, right, this was from the trailer, right? Spock's line of, judging by the pollution content of the atmosphere, I believe we ride in the latter half of the 20th century. Pretty funny line. So this is the moment, I'm going to go all the way back to like minute one or two, when we were going through the credits and we were talking about all the writers.
Yeah.
It was Harv Bennett and Nimoy, and it was Nicholas Meyer, and I forget the other guy's name. Shame on me. and we're like, why so many writers? Why do they have? And so the way that this right here, we're shifting into Act Two. This line, pollution content, the atmosphere. This is the first line of Nicholas Meyer took over the script at this point. Mm. So Harv Bennett was responsible for Act One. Nicholas Meyer's got, I guess, Act Two, and they're saying Act Two and Three, and then goes back to Harv Bennett at the end. But this line was like the handoff point. So now we should pay attention to see if this, do we get a different vibe now? Is there different energy levels, you know? Cause we're back to our pal from Wrath of Khan. So what do you think? Do you like that joke?
I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think a lot of this is an ad for, you know, Greenpeace and save the whales and, you know, don't give a hoot, don't pollute kind of things, you know, Hootie the Owl. I feel like this line is just another reminder to us, pollution is bad, you know, judging by the pollution content in the atmosphere. Yeah, we know that there was a huge scare during the 80s about, you know, the ozone layer and the hole and all that kind of stuff. And
It's a 1986 burn is what he's delivering right there, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Spock.
This reminds me of the do you remember the star the C-3PO and R2-D2 smoking commercial?
Yes.
That's what this totally reminds me of.
You're trying a cigarette.
Please don't smoke. You know, it's just one of those moments. Of
So you're seeing it as like
the future is telling us how bad we are,
right? So you're seeing the scene as like a PSA that's running between cartoons.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally.
Okay, I get it now. Now I'm not gonna be able to unsee that. Like, oh,
Spock.
He should look right at the camera. Don't litter, kids.
Yeah. Give a hoot. Don't pollute.
What do you think of Kirk's well done, like, yeah, the rah-rah arm?
He's a little too excited.
He's a little too.
I mean,
good
I get
job,
it. They're saving, you know, all life on Earth.
There's so many ways this could have gone wrong, I guess, right? They could have disintegrated. They could have, you already said, crashed into the Earth at warp 10.
if they went farther back, I mean, is that bad?
No, I think they could have gone back any, like, yeah. They could have gone.
Like if they went back during the pyramids.
Right.
You know, the creation of the pyramids.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There'd be whales then, right? Like they didn't evolve like.
No.
Like even Spock says, they evolved over a million years or whatever.
Yeah.
Like they could have. Why did they have to pick this time? Why did they pick 1980s America? to go back to.
Did they say that? Is that what they?
Well, I think doesn't Spock make some reference to it? Like they were heavily hunted during the latter part of the 20th century or something like that.
He did. The target, Spock's target, was the late 20th century.
Yeah. Why didn't they just go back?
Anytime. I mean, I know why they didn't go back farther, but
you wouldn't want to see Kirk and company in, you know, medieval times. Ye whales are over here. I don't know.
Well, they never would have gotten back, so it doesn't matter. Right. As we'll find out in the next couple of minutes.
Thank goodness. That's right. Thank goodness.
I know. Thank goodness for those writers. Well, can you imagine them in the writing? So they're in the writer's room, throwing out ideas. You know, we're going to send them back in time. We're going to do the whole time travel thing. We're going to go back and we're going to save the whales. What if one of them said, you know, yeah, let's send them back to medieval times. Let's send them back to, you know, the 40s. Yeah. Let's send them back to the 20s. Let's send them back to another time. And, you know, then someone brings up, well, how are they going to get back? Like, what about the power source?
Right. They need power.
Yeah. You know, they're not going to craft. You know, it's not like they're in the DeLorean and they can use today parts to repair the DeLorean kind of thing. I mean, they have a futuristic.
Parts.
You know, they can't use AAA batteries.
Right. Or steam. They have to create a steam engine.
Yeah.
today parts. Okay. What else we got?
Well, you know what I mean? I mean, it just.
Oh, no, I totally know what you mean. Yeah.
How do you feel about McCoy's side eye there?
Like his, yeah, his no. Yeah, what is he doing? He's not participating at all. He's just like listening, and they should give him something else to do in this moment. Like he should be throwing up or something. Like, you know, that can't feel good waking up from time travel. Someone's got to be getting sick.
Do you think McCoy is just like he's just still out of it? And instead of saying anything, he's like, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut because I have no idea where I am, who these people are.
Right. He's still seeing the giant heads. That's where he's at. It's like, are you guys seeing this?
Yeah, and then so then, you know, smartest man alive, Spock returns. Admiral, if I may, we're probably already visible to the tracking devices of the time. Is that true? Like, could we see?
Somebody showed up.
Are our tracking devices, like, could we see a ship? Like, if it appeared out of warp, like would we get?
I don't know if you just see that out of nowhere.
I mean, I know we can track, like, you know, missiles that get fired from another country. So obviously we can track things. Again, this is my naivety of like how far science goes. Like, are we able to? I'm assuming we're able to track things in space, like to a certain degree around Earth.
Right. You can track the space shuttle. You can track satellites.
Yeah.
But those are all things you're looking for, right?
Right.
You know, like, oh, we got to. Where's the shuttle? There it is. Okay, let's follow it. But if something just snapped out of nowhere, right, which presumably coming out of warp, you just bang, you're there.
Right, yeah. That's kind of what I mean is that.
It's interesting that they had to do this. I mean, did they have to cloak now? I mean, I know they have to cloak when they land, right? They're intending to land.
Right.
But did they have to cloak while they're still in orbit?
I mean, I'm assuming they do. I mean, I get it. But like you said, like, we're looking for things in space, so we're receiving responses from our satellites and the space shuttle and the International Space Station. We're getting pings from those things because we have a connection to them.
Yeah.
But if something that appears there that we don't have a connection to, like, are we going to be able to?
I guess I hope we can, because when the aliens do come to invade, I'd like to know about it ahead of time.
Right, yeah.
I'm assuming NASA's got something set up, a tripwire or something. Hey, someone's here, it shouldn't be. Well, no, we see the bird of prey cloak, so they're not in the atmosphere at this moment. So it's not like somebody could see them from the ground, like looking up in the sky and seeing the bird of prey, right? They're still out in space.
Right, yeah. Right.
Although you can see, I mean, I can, You know, I've seen the International Space Station go by at night. You know, get one of those apps that tells you, hey, it's got about to pass overhead, and you can actually watch it go by.
Yep.
So if let's say we're, you know, in Australia at the moment on Earth, would the bird of prey show up as just like a bright star that's moving funny? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Weird.
All right. So we're going to cloak. We'll just answer it this way. I like the control panel. I like Chekhov's control panel. We haven't seen that.
Details.
It's all backlit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's very not Klingon to me. You know what I mean? It's like
I was kind of thinking the same thing.
Like, yeah, you would expect it to be, you know, all, like the rest of the ship, all dirty metal and.
Well, I guess because we saw a few minutes ago, we were over at Uhura Station, and hers was vastly different.
Yeah. Do you think this is an add-on? Did they like swap out the whatever the Klingon?
You mean when they were retrofitting the entire bridge for a new bridge? You mean that part?
right, that part. this would be then like a Vulcan, potentially a Vulcan panel they swapped in.
Well, yeah, I guess. But then again, I look at the panel and I see like maybe 10 buttons. So, you know.
Klingons.
Not Klingons. Very
sophisticated.
Yeah.
Klingons.
Fire. Cloak.
Bok, you mean, right? but yeah, I do. That panel is striking. It's pretty cool. It just looks like it belongs on a different ship. It also looks like it might slide into the center panel, the center console. So I don't know. Maybe they cut a scene here where it slid out. Maybe, you know, maybe this all slid out. I'm totally reaching here, buddy.
Yep. You're reaching.
All right. So they cloak, and we see the bird of prey cloak, and as we've had to do many, many times on Star Trek Minute, pretty sure this is a reused shot from another movie.
Oh, yeah. I kind of thought it was from either... Wrath of Khan or from the very beginning, the Kobayashi Maru.
Oh, right. No, I was.
Or is it from Search for Spock?
Yeah, pretty sure it's Search for Spock. I shouldn't bet money on it, but I will go back and look. I bet I could find this exact shot in Search for Spock. So yeah, but that's where. That's where we end. I thought this minute was longer.
No. Yeah, it's not a very long minute.
It's like, but it is. It's a good one though. We get a good joke.
Yep.
We get some good George K acting. I wish we could have seen Uhura wake up. Gee, like, you know, like going back to that. She's the one that like just kind of sits up and starts working.
Yeah, puts a little thing back in her ear and gets back to business. I guess, you know, when you're in the 23rd century, I mean, it's. You know, it's all about business.
Or the Starfleet, they have trained these guys well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're ready for anything.
I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it.
Okay. All right, man. Well, then, anything else for minute 34?
I have nothing.
All right. Nor do I. Let's wrap it up. And, folks, if you're having a good old time with our podcast here, why don't you do us a solid? Head out to Apple Podcast, rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. All those things help raise us in the rankings, I guess, is the, I don't know, is that the phrase? What is a phrase about? How do you get higher in the rankings?
You get more views.
Get more views, more listeners. Yeah. We want more listeners. We love more listeners, and we need your help. Rate,
tell
review,
your
and
friends.
Subscribe.
Tell your parents. Tell your uncle.
Tell your parents. All those things, please and thank you. We'll be back again on Wednesday talking about minute 35 of The Voyage Home here at the Star Trek Minute. Yep. Bye now.
Bye.